The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary. All right, it's your turn. Ask the pastor. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest today is Pastor Randy Wilkin from the Acts 1-8 Mission Society and The Rock. Good to have you here.
Well, good morning.
I was trying to book you for a morning essential spot, and my goodness, we've got you on the Bible Study and on Studio A, and I think we're booking you. We're overworking you here.
Oh, man, no. We'll take it any time.
You've got some guests in the studio. Who'd you bring along?
Yes, I do. We have some young people that are working with us and some senior advisors, we call them, that are working with us at The Rock this week. They've been here all week. Actually, they survived those 2 days that were, what, 153 degrees, something like that?
Yeah.
Ah, man, that was murder, and they survived it.
Yep,
and so they're here from Nebraska.
Oh, where it's cooler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or at least maybe not now.
Yeah, but the humidity maybe is a little bit lower. Yeah.
Explain to our listeners, you referred to The Rock. What is that?
The Rock is an old church that we are renovating and reinvigorating and getting restarted. And it's a old church on Kings Highway, 1126 South Kings Highway. You can tell it because there's a big white cross on top of the bell tower.
Right off the Highway 40 exit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You get off there and you can see the bell tower.
There
and as a matter of fact, the young people are working on, they worked on the bell tower and they actually were working on getting the cross to light up again.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I haven't done
that'll
it
that'll look good from the highway.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have with us today.
Oh, well,
you got to remember their names now.
I know. I'm not even going to try because I'm going to get them wrong. Go ahead. We have.
I'm Sarah.
Uh huh.
And I'm Katira.
Katira.
Yes.
That's nice. Is there some significance to that? How did that name come about?
My mom went to a wedding where the lady's name was Katrina, and then I don't remember if they saw a Cadillac Katira car, and then they just started throwing stuff together. So.
Wow.
There you go. Named after a car. And are you college gals?
I will be this fall.
Uh-huh. Where are you going to go to school?
I'm going to the University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. And what about you?
I will be a junior in high school.
Uh-huh. With hopes of going where to college?
Hopefully somewhere in Kansas, maybe K-State or Kansas University.
Okay. And how did you hear about The Rock and Pastor Wilkin here?
Well, we're going to go on our first mission trip about 2 years ago, and somehow we found him, I think, on the Internet or something, and so we asked about it. And
random chance you're talking about here, huh?
Yeah, sort of. So then we ended up there, and yeah. Been friends since.
So what kinds of projects are you working on here in St. Louis? Are you involved in the renovation of The Rock?
Yeah, we are. We've been priming the ceilings, scrubbing the walls, the floors, everything. And just about anything you can think of, we've been working on it.
And you call that vacation?
Well, when you have good people around you, it's definitely a fun time.
Oh, that's good. And, you know, not to sound crass here, but volunteerism like that looks real good on that college resume.
I know.
Oh, you too.
Now the truth comes out.
I have a pretty sweet resume now.
So, first time in St. Louis?
Not my first time. Yeah, for her it is.
What's your impression, Sarah?
It's not what I thought it would be. Everyone has their stereotypes of when I found out we're going to be by East St. Louis, everyone's like, oh, the bad part of town. And it's not what I grew up around, but it's just something different.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned East St. Louis. We have a school there, a Lutheran school over in East St. Louis that's just doing an awesome job in the community there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Unity Lutheran School.
Yes.
Actually, absolutely. A lot of the, not these volunteers in particular, but a lot of the volunteers that I work with actually helped to get that school started.
Yeah.
Renovated the basement of Unity Lutheran Church and started out just with a couple of rooms down there.
You know Principal Paul Miller?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He's mm-hmm. quite a spark plug. He's,
yep.
He's quite
doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, good to have you here, and I'm glad the weather's a little milder now for you.
Yeah.
It's a shame the Cardinals aren't in town. You could maybe see again. Of course, you too is going to be here Sunday.
Yeah, they go back tomorrow. So
oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, not going to be. Yeah, they won't be able to partake.
I don't think there's any tickets available at the stadium, but you could stand outside, perhaps. Yeah. It'll be loud enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, you want to delve into some issues here, Pastor?
Oh, hold on. You guys ready?
Ready.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're,
well,
they're,
yeah, we can get their perspective on some of this,
mm-hmm.
too. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, let's start with this, since we've got the women.
But before
in the
we
house.
Start?
Yes.
Oh, I promise we would give a shout out to the rest of the,
the
rest of the Nebraska group and the St. Louis group
uh-huh.
and the East St. Louis group and the Granite City group that are all still back there sweating at the rock.
All right.
So they're working. They should be listening. And if they're not, I'm going to ask them what we talked about.
There you go. Well, let's get your take on this, gals. Everyone feels stress, but women who live in countries with emerging economies say they feel more stressed than women in developed countries. The Women of Tomorrow study by the Nielsen Company was released recently and says that today's women feel empowered. But as Susan Whiting, the vice chair at Nielsen, points out, feelings of empowerment can also lead to feeling overworked, stressed, and pressed for time. Women tell Nielsen they feel empowered to reach their goals and get what they want, she said, but at the same time, this level of empowerment results in added stress.
Yeah.
Do you feel empowered?
Yeah, that's really true, because now that you have so many opportunities, you want to, like, use them as best as you can, but then you realize you're, like, totally overwhelmed trying to do everything, and, like, yeah, so that's totally true.
Yeah, especially with college coming up on you quickly here.
Yeah.
And next month.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The United States ranked 11th overall among countries surveyed, with 53% of women feeling stressed. Sweden and Malaysia tied for the lowest percentage at 44. The highest, the South Asian nation of India, 87% felt stressed there. Mexico, 74%, and Russia, 69%. The report also stated that women in developing countries think that their daughters will have more opportunities than they had, while women in developed nations like America believe their daughters will only have the same opportunities as they had. What do you hear from your moms? Do they expect more for you, or perhaps the same as what they've experienced?
I think that maybe my mom thinks that I will have more opportunities just because the way she grew up and the way I grew up so far have been kind of the same, but there's definitely been some differences. Like, she had a few more brothers than I did, and their family was definitely very close, and mine is very close as well, but just, I don't know, really.
Do you think you have an advantage coming from a Lutheran family, a Christian family?
Yeah, I definitely do. Like, the whole faith aspect helps. Well, that's one reason that we're so close, is God, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It says that the majority of women, 80%, who live in nations with developed economies like the U.S., believe that the role of women will change in the future, and 90% believe it will be for the better. How would you rank that?
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, we're all feeling empowered and everything, but I don't really know if how much better it will be, really. Because I don't want us all to get cocky and think about hot stuff now that we can do stuff. I don't know. It might get better somehow, but I think we're pretty lucky as we are right now.
One of the analysts said that women are wearing many more hats these days.
Yes, I wear lots of hats.
Now, I think you'll find this fascinating. It says here that one reason why some women said they felt stress in emerging markets is because after spending money on everyday essentials, they don't have much money to spend on themselves. Interestingly, vacations top the list of what women in developed nations plan to spend extra money on, while clothing topped the list for those in nations with emerging markets. So does that tell you that perhaps in America you take the clothing for granted,
yeah,
and you want to travel? Do you folks want to travel? You like that?
Yeah. And I took a clothing class this year, and our teacher brought up the fact that it takes them, or I mean, like, they get paid by the hour, you know, just a few cents, and then we barely pay anything for their creation when it took me like a whole quarter to make the same thing. And if I was being, if I was charging by the hour, it would have been hundreds.
Oh, wow.
All that stuff. But I think sometimes we think like here that what we call essential is not really, like when we came here, you know, took away our phones and everything. And at first we were like, oh no.
You took away their phones.
Yeah, they're gone.
Now, we were talking last night. We haven't even really missed them. So it's just kind of like what you think is essential, not really after.
It sounds like urban camp.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But see, now, what you just brought up is really kind of interesting. See, the world says we're going to empower women. That's what the world says. And if you're going to be empowered, then you're going to have more responsibilities. You're going to wear more hats. You're going to be outside the home because a career is so much more important. And actually, what the world tells us is this is what you need. The result is stress, indecision, alienation, feeling less empowered and more obligated. And we start to lose the sense, and we've been talking about this at The Rock this entire week. What is it that people are really searching for? And I'm going to tell you what, all the way from South Africa to Nebraska to Mississippi to every San Antonio, Texas, every single place we've been, the same thing has been family. Mm. We want family. We want closeness, togetherness, versus here's all this stuff we can have. Because when we're pursuing our careers and our goals, it's very isolated. We're doing it on our own. But when we do it as a family together, working on The Rock, it's amazing what has come about, what has transpired, versus somebody saying, well, this is my project, everybody leave me alone because I need to do it myself. There's two young ladies, one of them is here, that's working on a chair. We paint chairs. We found some old wooden chairs. We stripped them and we primed them, and it started with our friend from South Africa, Miss Senzi. And she painted one. Now I got two young ladies together and just said, come up with something together. And now they've included the entire group in their creation. Hmm. Not a single person has not had some input in it.
So you've had an opportunity to experience community, and that's mm-hmm. important to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the cell phones can be a distraction.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Because here you are trying to get to know each other. I like what you just said, community. Building that community, how can you do it when you're constantly being drug off into different directions? We haven't even checked the internet lately.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys?
No.
Yeah, haven't even looked at a newspaper. No TV. And it's not like you're being denied, whoa, just don't have TV. You can look at it. It's right there in front of you, but don't you dare turn it on. It's not even been there. I tell you what. You want your friends to be with you in community? Tell them to come along next time.
Hmm.
You know, drag them with you.
Mm-hmm. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Ask the Pastor with Pastor Randy Wilkin from the Acts 1-8 Mission Society and The Rock. And we have a couple of guests in the studio from Nebraska as well. Okay, here's another topic. Most Americans believe the presence of a church is positive for their community, according to a new study. In fact, more than half, 53%, say the church's presence is very positive, and a quarter say it's somewhat positive, according to the Barna Group. Only 5% hold an unfavorable view of the church's influence on the community, saying its presence is negative. Though the younger folks, those aged 18 to 27, along with atheists, the unchurched and liberals are least likely to hold a favorable view of the church. The new study found that still a majority in each group, except atheists and agnostics, believe the church has a generally positive influence on their communities. I'll stop there, because we're talking about folks 18 to 27. Apparently, there's some of your peers that just don't have a very high opinion of church. Now, you probably associate mostly with Christian friends, but what do you think about that statistic?
Well, it's probably true, because, you know, at church you are told certain things are not okay, and nobody wants to be told that what they like and enjoy and have fun with, that they shouldn't be doing it. No one wants to be told that, so I'm sure a lot of people at that age don't want to hear that, and so they don't appreciate it and stuff, but... Like, a lot, we were talking the other night, like, the people that from East St. Louis and stuff that came here, if we hadn't had this opportunity to meet them and we would have just seen them on the street, it's not like we would have ever, you know, went up and talked to them. But now they're like some of our favorite people, and we like don't want to have to see them leave, or don't want to have to leave them, and it's just really hard now. So,
Pastor?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not quite sure where I would be going with that. How about you, Miss Sarah?
We'll see. Like, that age group, a lot of people at that age are experiencing and trying out new things, just exploring their options. And faith in the church is more of a stable thing, like going to church every Sunday. And I think those people don't want something that they feel obligated to go to every week. Uh-huh. Like, I want to have fun on a Saturday night, then not have to wake up for church Sunday morning. And that's not necessarily a thing. You can go to a night service or something like that. And I don't think half the people realize that God is always there. It's not limited to just a Sunday or a Wednesday or something like that. And it's like, I feel that it's our duty to let people know that God is available at all times, not just on Sundays and not just...
Okay, so at your high schools, are people who think like you two in the majority or the minority?
Well, we grew
up... Are you the exception?
No. We grew up in a small town. We are living in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture is... The majority is growing up Christian.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's just how
That's why those small towns are great places to raise a family, you know?
I don't know if that's just how the town was founded or what, but that's just how we grew up.
You've got good Midwestern values in that town, huh? Interesting. Back to the survey here. David Kinneman is president of the Barna Group, and he says churches are perceived to be an important element of a community, even among the unchurched. The positive view is partly due to the fact that most unchurched adults are de-churched or former churchgoers. So although they may be wary of personal involvement, they do have an understanding of the service and assistance that churches can provide to their communities. Is the Rock a welcome asset to the community where your church is?
Oh, yeah.
South Kings Highway?
Well, it's growing that way. But it's a changing neighborhood. And just what you just said, you know, there's a lot of prior churched people, and they've had some really bad experiences with church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're reading the survey, and, you know, here's the people that really have a very low opinion of the church, really want nothing to do with church, or have a negative, whatever.
They have a benign indifference.
Yeah, yeah. And what it is actually... I heard on, what was it, the Bible study just a little while ago, you know, we don't want to get into church as prosperity. You know, if you come into our church, look at all the wonderful things that are going to happen to you, because that's not what Christ really focused on. He focused on not here in this world. What he's focusing on, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but one of the things we have been talking about is almost every single person that's there is hurting in some way or another. There's some crushedness. There's some anxiety. And as one young man put it, you know, how do you get past the self-loathing? You know, some people are just so, God must hate me for the things that I do and the things that, you know, I have my thoughts and the stuff I've done.
Well, that's what the devil wants us to think.
Exactly, exactly. And that's where most of them are. And you are absolutely correct. That's Satan just, man, God can't love you. And so they feel left out. They feel alienated from the church. And one of the things that we're working on is, no, this God actually, absolutely, because this is what Sarah was alluding to, is God is always with you. And he is. And he's walking with you. And he absolutely loves you. And that's one of the things we're leaving out of our churches.
Hmm.
You know, it's a country club. It's a place to come in. It's a place to fit in. Not a place to come and be healed, a place to be comforted. It's a place to fit in. And if you fit in with me, and you said Midwest, good Midwest, you know, values, etc., sometimes that scares the people half to death because I don't have those values.
Well, you know, and we brought this up the other day about, we were talking yesterday about why some people stop going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're an individual who may be a little introverted,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps dealing with some depression, you mm-hmm. don't feel like putting on your game face and going to church and hugging and shaking hands. Where mm-hmm. do those people fit in? Where can mm-hmm. they go?
Well, you know what they're looking for, though. Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be accepted. And if somebody's very, very quiet and they don't want the handshakes and the hugging, because I tell you what,
the country club atmosphere, right, the socializing.
Right, exactly. Because so many times when you ask, and I hear this constantly from young people, they know when you're fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain people that come up and they'll hug you, and you know they're fake, and it's like, I don't want your hugs. Because you're doing it because you feel obligated or you think this is what I should do. I want to know that you truly care about me. Now, how do you do that?
And that's real important to this generation.
Yes, authenticity.
Right. Authenticity.
I constantly hear it. You know, I want authentic worship. You know what authentic worship is? It's very hard to come up with what it really is until you go into the Scripture. And you know what the Scripture says? It's from here. It's from the heart. So some of these young people want to come in their flip-flops and shorts and tank tops, and that's what they want to come in and worship. And other people want to be with their flowery hats, etc., and all decked out. But what is it? It's what comes from the heart. That's where I want to be. I want to know that somebody is real. And when you start to find out they're real is when they finally let you in past the game face, which you described.
And I find that so fascinating because it's so distinctly your generation, gals, mm-hmm. looking for this authenticity. And I'm wondering where you see things that aren't authentic. Is it the media that's constantly coming at you where you see that which is not authentic? Is that what motivates you to look for that authenticity, or what is it?
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that, like, even though we do have, you know, the Midwest values and everything, like, it seems like people in our church, even though they, do put on a good front, seems like even though they might have those values, that they are totally missing something compared to when you find people that, might not have any of the same things, values bringing up, but they truly, like, have that desire for being close with God, and they are searching for something when it seems like some of the times people in our church, they're all nice, you know, but right once church service is over, it's, you know,
it's just another day.
Yeah, or it's, this lady didn't bring the right pie, and look at her outfit, and whatever, so it's just...
Mm-hmm. Boy, I'll tell you, you guys have your radar on all the time, don't you? Mm-hmm. You're watching, like, the world around you.
Mm-hmm. I think especially in a small town, how we have grown up, everyone just goes to church. It's just how they...
Yeah.
It's just everything they've known. And
it's a routine?
Mm-hmm. But that's where we get lost in our faith is, I don't know, I wake up on Sunday mornings and it's like, all right, got to go to church. But then I have to remind myself, I don't have to go to church, but I need that spiritual revival to get me through the week. And that's what I look forward to the most. Don't tell my parents that I said that, because sometimes I'm dragging in the morning to get out of bed, but I do look forward to that.
Do you feel like you're getting more out of this mission trip than you're giving?
Definitely.
You've got something to take home.
Yeah. Yes, we just mm-hmm. like sit there, but then we realize, like, afterwards we might not have, like, finished the whole project, but mm-hmm. like inside we have, like, totally been changed in some way or the other, or you can see it in your friends' faces, and mm-hmm. it's just really nice, and we hope to, like, bring it back home and keep it going.
We'll be back with the second half of Ask the Pastor with Pastor Randy Wilkin on KFUO Radio.
I've heard business people complain that nonprofits don't respond in timely ways to needs and opportunities. I believe that's true. Concordia Seminary strives to instill responsiveness in our graduates. Responsiveness to the needs of congregations and responsiveness to the needs of our communities and world. Responsiveness is a seminary core value, and it's a great commission value.
The Essence airs weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. Sacred and classical music reflecting the beauty of creation and the great heritage of the church throughout the ages. Join us weekdays as we explore and experience the great inspiration provided by some great classics. Music for your daily walk.
Listen to The Essence weekdays from 1 till 3 on KFUO Radio, underwritten by Lutheran Senior Services, older adults living life to the fullest.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I'd like to thank CBS Outdoor, a chain of billboards, for doing what's right. Pro-lifers rented 60 billboards from them in Oakland, California. They showed an African-American infant with the words, Black and Beautiful. Underneath was a website, TooManyAbortions.com. The goal was to point out how the abortion industry targets the Black community. Pro-abortion leaders denounced the billboards as blatantly racist. How is it racist to protect the lives of Black babies? Perhaps it would be if they advocated killing Black kids. Pro-aborts demanded they be removed, but CBS Outdoor General Manager Jeff McEwen stood his ground and refused to take them down. Thanks, CBS Outdoor, for standing up against political correctness and protecting the right of free speech.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Church Disciplined. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The president of Sovereign Grace Ministries, C.J. Mahaney, is taking a leave of absence to deal with charges made against him by former ministry leaders and pastors. In a letter on the denomination's website, Mahaney says the charges do not involve immorality or financial impropriety, but he says former colleagues have faulted him for pride, deceit, sinful judgment, and hypocrisy. Joshua Harris, pastor of Sovereign Grace's founding church in Maryland, told his congregation Sunday,
CJ has confessed to some of these sins. He disagrees with others.
Harris said he and other Sovereign Grace leaders share responsibility.
We cannot get around the fact that our church and our entire denomination is being publicly spanked.
He said an outside panel will be asked to review Sovereign Grace's past and present practices. I'm Steve Coleman.
KFUO Radio salutes our day sponsor on this Thursday, July 14th, 2011. Today's day sponsor is John Rao. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO Radio in loving memory of Helen Rose Jolly's birthday on this Saturday, July 16th, and in honor of Helen Rose's great-granddaughter, Adelaide Rose, whose birthday is today. Once again, we say thank you to John Rao of St. Charles, Missouri, today's KFUO Radio Day sponsor.
We need a word today, one that speaks the truth, yes, calling us to repent of our sin, but in love. We need a word today, one that refreshes, that renews our very hearts and souls. We need a word today from God, and we have that word.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
It's Ask the Pastor on the Bible Study, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In the studio with us, joining Pastor Randy Wilkin, is Sarah and Katira, our guests here. They're in town on a mission trip helping to refurbish the rock on South Kings Highway. And when we went to the break, we were talking about this Barna survey. Most Americans find churches to have a positive influence. And their response is better characterized here. And when asked what churches could do to help their communities, the most common answer was helping the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the kind of thing you hear? Which 29% of people stated. 14% listed cultivating biblical values. 13% stated serving youth, families, and the elderly. And 12% listed teaching the Bible and giving spiritual direction. Is that what a church should do?
Hmm. Well, let me see. Yes, a church should help the poor. So we have a lot of poor that will walk through the doors of the church and say, help me. So we just had one, as a matter of fact, just had one yesterday. Walked in, and some of the kids came and said, Pastor, there's somebody that needs your help. So I went and met this guy, and he stands up, introduces himself, and he says, you know, I just got out of the hospital. He had a good prop on, had a little wristband on his, you know, on his wrist, and said, just got out of the hospital. I want to try and get home. I need some money for bus fare. It's really hot. And I says, well, yeah. Where are you going? He says, East St. Louis. And I said, really? I'll give you a ride. And the guy said, I just want bus fare. And I said, no, no, I'm going that way. Let me give you a ride. And I said, where in East St. Louis are you going? He says, Collinsville. And I said, Collinsville Road? No, a little town called Collinsville. I said, you're kidding me. I live in Collinsville. Let me give you a ride. And he stood up and he walked out the door because he didn't want a ride. He wanted the money. Now, here's the thing. How do we help the poor? And sometimes we think just giving them money. No, I tell you what, who is it? Doesn't Peter look at the guy that wants money and says, gold or silver I do not have? You know, but here is Jesus. Here is, you know, the Word. Here's a lot of the stuff that you just read about. This is the stuff we should be doing and building relationships. So if this guy doesn't want a relationship, I really can't help you. Mm-hmm. These young people are in, and it says, you know, we should be working with the young and families, etc., and that's what we're doing. Should we be doing this? Yes, and they're absolutely 100% right, but how do you do it? Do you work with youth and just say, I'm going to take you to Six Flags? No, let's go to Disney World. Let's do a fundraiser for an entire year, and we're going to go to Disney World, and that's what the kids do, and they have dinners, and they have car washes and all this stuff just to go to Disney World, and everybody thinks, well, this is wonderful because they're traveling, which is exactly what you were talking about.
Now, there's some things missing there. Mm-hmm. People are missing the point. There's no mention of the word gospel in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the main
purpose,
isn't it?
That's exactly it. This guy comes in, wants some money. I don't have the money to give to you, but here's what I have. That's what we just talked about, actually, this morning. What was the verse that we chose? I don't remember. Do you remember? It was 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians chapter 13, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember, but anyways, it's talking about what's the most important thing. This is what I want to pass on to you. Christ, Him crucified. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Let's go to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Sally, you're on KFUO Radio with Pastor Randy Wilkin and our guests.
Yes. My name is Sally, and I'm on my lunch break and listening to KFUO. And I just want to tell Katera and Sarah what they're doing is something really, really awesome. It's really touched my heart, and for them to keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for calling. That's very encouraging.
Yes.
Thanks.
That's exactly what I was going to say. The encouragement, just to call and give encouragement to young people. Wow. Sometimes we don't do it.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. As to what specific churches should provide, the survey respondents said they should instill morals and values, as well as cultivate a sense of belonging, show compassion and love toward others, and bring unity to the community, according to the study. Another service churches can provide is assisting in recovery, providing counseling and support groups, and essentially helping people get their lives back on track. This was listed by 10% of surveyed Americans. So what about those expectations, Pastor? Is that something that we should intentionally be trying to satisfy?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with, and I like what you said before, there's something missing. There's nothing wrong with anything that they just described. But they're also talking about church being a social agency.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure our community is functioning well, and that, you know, people have the services that they need, and this is how the church can help the community.
All temporal thinking here.
You got it. And what is amazing, that's where most of these young people come in, temporal thinking. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, we had a group come in from Indianapolis, and the guy came in, he brought junior high kids, there was 15 of them, and they came in to work for the day, and I had them in God's Word in the morning, God's Word at noon, God's Word in the evening. And the guy looked at me and says, I thought we were just coming here to work. And I looked at him and I said, you are. And he said, but we got so much more. Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. When we stop at all those temporal things, it's only temporal. It's only temporary. It's only a stopgap. What they really, truly need is a relationship with Christ. And it's not bait and switch.
No.
Get them into this, you know, counseling, etc. You're searching for something. There's a hole in your life. And Christ is the only thing that's going to fill it.
So do you see the public's expectations as opportunities to share
yes,
the gospel?
That's exactly right. And not, what I said, not as bait and switch, But truly,
this is part of the whole package.
Yes, exactly. So they come in and they start to work with me. And the thing is, we could just go to work and we could have gotten a heck of a lot more done. We don't get started till 10 o'clock and somebody would say, Pastor, you're not starting at 10 o'clock. We're up at 7 in the morning. And for 3 hours, we're in God's Word together. And we have something to eat. And we're in God's Word together. And it's not like we're not wanting to work. You want to work. But God's Word is feeding us. And then we go out and we work. And the work is so, you're just so blessed by it. And then in the evening, we debrief and we talk about what's been going on. That's the holistic nature of what God would have us to do. But not just stopping with the temporal.
Mm. Spiritual boot camp is what you're describing here.
Oh, I think so. Yep.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The conclusion of this Barna survey by this David Kinneman of the Barna Group says that there seems to be a disconnect for most Americans between serving the community and helping individuals find their way to God through Christ. He said, even among many churchgoers, contributing positively to the community is perceived to be the result of offering the right mix of public service programs. Yet this seems to miss an important biblical pattern. You change communities by transforming lives, he said.
Yes. You got it. What did you say earlier? Transforming lives? We've been changed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we always call it a mission trip, but I was thinking, we should just call it like a spiritual development trip instead, because that's usually what it ends up like.
Wow.
That's quite an endorsement.
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly what we have to change it to. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, another topic for you here, and perhaps because you've worked with the poor, you could appreciate this. Maybe you'll disagree. A broad coalition of clergy is telling Congress and the White House not to cut national deficits on the backs of the poor. The coalition, called Circle of Protection, represents a wide spectrum of denominations. It's headed by the Reverend Jim Wallace, head of Sojourners, a Washington-based social justice advocacy group. Wallace says the nearly 5,000 pastors supporting the initiative are more concerned about the poor than politics. He says cuts to social programs affecting the needy would be devastating. Wallace says the pastors are on the front line and see the suffering among their members and at ministries they operate. He calls the federal budget a moral document and says the pastors are merely responding to their calling and demonstrating the concern of Jesus for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to be controversial then, because I totally disagree with these pastors.
Mm.
I really do. Number one, the government should not be the one taking care of the poor. Here it is. What does Scripture say? Jesus, you feed them. Jesus, we don't have enough money. And he says, no, you feed them. You go take care of them. Paul brought back, contributions to the poor back in Jerusalem. The church was always supposed to be taking care of the poor. And what do we do? Oh, no, we can't do that. The government needs to do it. And I'm sorry, when the government does it, there's a lot. The politics that you just said, that they said, well, we want to leave politics out of it. I'm sorry, it's never going to be left out when the government does it. You do it. You bring the poor in, and you give them what they really need, which is a relationship with Christ. You transform their lives. We just got a text, and I just got to show it to the girls. A young lady down in Mississippi, her name is Trudy. And Trudy is one of the most awesome ladies you'll ever want to meet. Mm. She's working hard to support her family. Single mom, two grown daughters, a house that absolutely fell apart, literally. Floor has fallen into the crawl space. We went in, and we didn't go in because we felt sorry for her. We worked right alongside of her and helped her. We didn't give her anything. She paid for the materials. We went in and just worked right alongside of her. Transformed her life. And she just sent me a text just saying, good morning. That's it. Why would she send me the text? Because I just want to let you know that I'm with you. She's encouraging me from the encouragement we gave her. That's what the church is supposed to be doing, working together. And then we bring Christ into her life. She literally has been transformed. But we want the government to do that. And I totally disagree. The government cannot transform lives. All it can do is make politicians more powerful. because this is my control. So if I give you a few dollars to keep you poor, then you're going to vote for me. Hmm. I'm sorry. It should not be done. Our churches should be doing it, building the relationships. Then you know who's truly in need, which is exactly what Paul talks about. You know, if a widow, make sure she's truly in need, not just because you're going to make her into a busybody.
Mm-hmm. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. James, you're on KFUO with Pastor Randy Wilkin and guests.
Okay, I'd like to ask the guest a question and pastor a question.
Yes, go. Let's start with the guests, Sarah and Katira.
Okay, how are you ladies?
Good. We're good.
Great. I'd like to know who your teen idols are and what you think about Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus.
Well, I don't like using the term idols, I guess, you know, and I'm not the biggest fan of those two.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Sarah?
I don't know about idols, like the famous people. I think the people in our group, I look to them more. The St. Louis group and the group that we brought with us, I look to them more for guidance. And when I have questions, I don't email Justin Bieber or text him right up and see what his opinion is. Because when they're speaking, like, they send out messages to youth because they know they're listening, and they don't say anything about God or this is what you should be doing. They do the save the whales, don't text and drive, all that stuff. And I think, I don't know, we need more celebrities that are close with God and know God to get God's word out there, because we can only do so much, and we will do as much as we can to spread the word, but we just need to get the word out there so they can spread it to people and they can spread it to more people. And so I think I look more to the group that we brought as my idols.
Okay, that's a great answer. Is it any particular music that you ladies like?
I'm an oldies junkie, so, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but what's
like
an oldie for you? What do you call it, an oldie? 80s music?
No, like, I'm, yeah, all the way down to the 20s, really. So,
oh, wow.
But I like some of the new alternative stuff. I'm not really a top 40s person, but
okay.
if it's on, you know.
So no Lady Gaga in your world, huh?
Not
usually,
too much.
Yeah. I might dance to it occasionally. But
well, I remember we were in a situation such as you ladies way back when, and that question was put to us, and I can remember listening to Casey back in my day. I don't know if that's dating me. But that was one of the questions that was posed to us. And I guess my question to you, Pastor, how do you teach the distinction between community work and evangelism? I kind of was listening to you as I was making a call, and you were making a distinction about government.
Mm-hmm.
Do you view government as us, or do you view the government as some entity, some big brother entity out there that's not the people, so to speak? When I think of the government, mm-hmm. I think of us, and so can you answer that distinction question? How do you distinguish between community work and evangelism? And I hang up, and I think you ladies are doing a great job.
Thank you for
yeah,
calling.
Sarah, excellent. Bye. On that Miss America question there.
Yeah, good. James brings up a great distinction. Government, or is it us? Government should be us. Our politicians should be representing us. But they aren't anymore. And what it is, and it's the nature, this is humanity, this is humanness, this is brokenness, this is sinful nature, etc. There is no government out there that is truly altruistic. There is no government out there that truly is concerned about the people, because the politicians get in and realize, I can make a lot of money at this. I can get a lot of power. So he's absolutely right when he says, should it be community work is about the people? Absolutely. At 100%. It should be.
That government, though, here's what's confusing for me, is that government got its authority from God.
Yes.
He has his authority from God.
Exactly. And that's what Scripture says. It says, you know, this is where it came from. I did not give them the sword for nothing. And this is what it should be. But then humans, Israel did it. We were just talking about that recently. Israel, you know, falls away from God. Jonah comes along, goes to Nineveh, you know, says, hey, you know, here it is. This is what's going to happen. 40 days and you guys are going to fall. They're in sackcloth and ashes. And the government, the king of Nineveh says, whoa, hey, sackcloth and ashes, we're going to repent. We're going to ask God, you know, to forgive us, etc. We don't see that in our government now. We see our government saying, oh, prayer, sorry, can't do that. Any reference to God? Nope, we're not going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes man-made. It's not what God intended. So James is absolutely right. You know, community work, what is that? That is bringing the community together to work together and be concerned about one another.
Mm. Another question for Sarah and Katira. Perhaps you realize that folks your age, when they go away to college, come back and don't go to church anymore.
Yes, I do realize that. Yeah. A lot of my friends, that happens.
And you're both
too.
Going to public institutions.
Yeah, and yeah, Pastor Randy just got in my face about it yesterday.
Oh, sorry.
He was reminding me of that fact.
You're going to face a lot of evolutionary mainstream thinking there.
Yeah, I just signed up for a philosophy class, too. So.
Fellow students who cohabitate.
No. Yeah.
All of those things. I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to say you're walking into a den of iniquity here, but it's, there's going to be some challenges to your faith.
It happens, like I see it with almost all my friends that just went off to college, except for a very few. And it's really sad, and I'm going to try my hardest not to let it happen to me, but it's just really scary to think about, you know, because there are so many people that are so good at getting in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard for me because I haven't studied it enough to know all the answers yet or how to answer people back on things or to even really know if what they're saying might be true. So I'm hoping I'll get better about that so I can
Now, you may be in the minority. Right now in high school, you both said that most of your friends, Midwest values, you know, kind of, you're in the majority. But on that college campus, if you go to Kansas,
totally
Sarah, it's going to be a different world.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, I don't really know. I was thinking and then I lost my thought. the world is, I don't know. I was going to say something, but you guys can just keep talking and I'll come back.
Well, I signed up for a youth, like the Lutheran on-campus ministry there, so hopefully I'll be able to make it to that every week and keep my faith going and stuff, but I know it'll be hard. That's for
sure.
Yeah,
the distractions are enormous when there's so many activities, and here's all the activities which are so much fun. And what did you have, Miss Sarah?
Okay. So the world distractions, that's what got me back.
Mm-hmm.
And the world makes the excuse, I don't have time for God. I'm in college. I need a job. I need money. I'm busy. I don't have time to go to church. And that's when you realize who is stable in their faith and who is not. Who was the fake people that just went to church out of habit.
Yep.
Because when you go off to college, God should already be in your routine, not as a habit, but as something you like doing and you should do and continue to do as you go off. And you should make time for God rather than just, oh, God still loves me, I'll come back after college, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the things your professors are going to try to ingrain in you is to question everything.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's why I think some of your peers fall away. They begin to question what they've been taught all their lives.
Yeah, that's really easy to do, especially when they seem so intimidating and so knowledgeable, and like if you say one word against what they say, they're gonna fail you or something. And it's just and I think a lot of people get swept up into that, I need to be studying or I'm supposed to be having fun in college, and I'll be able to come back to it later once I'm a parent or when I need my kids to go. But I think sometimes they forget about their own spiritual needs, that you can't always, you might not even have those next few years. You might need to go today because you might not have tomorrow. and things like that. And I'm going to have to remind myself of that, definitely.
You really pinpointed something I hadn't thought about, and that's, I'll come up with the term, professor pressure. You're familiar with the term white coat syndrome? Anybody wearing a white coat must be an expert. Yeah. Whatever they say, it's got to be true. You know, and the biology professor in the white coat who's telling you that evolution is, you know, that creation is just a myth, that's tough to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially I just went to Washington, and we went to the Smithsonian's, you know, and I don't remember which one it was, but it had like the, like it said the beginning of time.
A timeline?
Yeah, and I thought it would be, I don't know what I thought, but I went there and it was all evolution, and I was like, really? Like, you can't talk about God, but you can put this in the museums that people will have to go to with the classes and everything, because then it's just, like, people automatically think that's true. It's not a theory anymore. Like, if the Smithsonian's telling you it's true, oh, then it's true. So that was kind of a shocker, I guess.
But. Yeah, and it's good that you've got your radar on, because you'll see that kind of thing at the Science Center, at the zoo, any of these national or even state parks. We have an Elephant Rocks Park south of St. Louis, and you'll see a timeline there, and they're talking about millions of years. It's all around you, yeah. So you got your antennas on, and you're using your critical thinking.
Yeah, but the good part is, see, you said it, these professors are going to start to get you to question everything. And honestly, you should. There isn't a single thing you shouldn't be questioning. You should be looking for the truth, and you should be questioning every single thing I tell you. Sorry, Mom, you should question everything your mother tells you, everything your dad tells you, every single thing that they say. You should question it, not deny it, not doubt it, but question it. Is it really true? And now where are you going to go? And you go back into the scriptures, and you find, is it true or not? You know, we have to go to church every Sunday. Is that actually true? Actually, it's not. We need to go to church all the time. We need to be in worship with the Lord all the time, 24/7, not just a single day. Set aside, you know, the Sabbath to keep it holy. When is the Sabbath? What happened to all this stuff? And you start to find, I want to be in worship with Him, even at a school, even like right now. How long have we worshiped?
The whole time we've been here, basically.
Yeah, from early in the morning, 7, 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock.
Taking that small catechism with you to campus?
Probably, yeah.
I'll tell you a story. When my daughter was in high school, she was dating a young man. He was a Baptist. Mm-hmm. And they spent the evening in the living room, and the next morning I see she's got her blue catechism on the coffee table. And I said, what's that all about? And she says, oh, we got to talking about baptism.
That's cute. Good date.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for being here. And I think you're encouraging for all of us older people, too. Yeah, we can catch the spark. You got it going on. Sarah and Katira, thank you for being here in St. Louis, and blessings to you on your trip back to Nebraska eventually at the end of the week. Too bad you can't be here to hear you two outside of Busch Stadium.
I know, right? Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, blessings to you. And Pastor Randy Wilkin, always a joy to have you in the studio. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And is there a website where we can follow, or a blog where we can follow the progress of The Rock?
Oh, yes. Acts 1:8. It's Acts 1, the number 1, number 8, MS Mission Society at... Oh, no. That's not the Mission Society. That's the email. It's stl.org.
Okay.
So acts18stl.org.
Just Google Acts 1:8 Mission Society STL.
Got it.
We're there.
We're on Facebook, too.
Okay.
You got it.
Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.